Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you from the beautiful Channel 9 studios. I have a special guest today, Narayan Annamalai. How are you doing, my friend?
Very good. How are you, Seth?
Good. So what do you work on?
I work on networking, Azure networking. Mm-hmm. I'm a product manager over there. Mm-hmm. And I own virtual networking and load balancing as a service.
That's exciting stuff when it works, right? Yeah. But then it's not so exciting when it doesn't work. Tell me, like, for those that are like IT pros.
Yeah.
And they are used to setting up networks and controlling stuff. Yep. There is a fear that you're going to lose control when you're in the cloud.
Well,
is that the case with us?
That is not the case.
Okay.
And that's what we're trying to solve.
Okay.
Right. So they get the exact same control mm-hmm. and the abilities of an on-prem network mm-hmm. through virtual networks in Azure.
I see.
Virtual networks are your virtual private cloud, virtual private environment that you have for mm-hmm. your company.
I see.
So, but it's done. The magic is it's all done through a click of a button. You just come to the API surface and say, I want a network.
Okay. Right?
And then you get to specify a few things, like bring your IP address space, bring your policies, right? And subnet your network even further, then give it to us. And then we take care of provisioning that network for you.
So you could do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. And once you have this network, that gives you a boundary, your trust boundary. And then you deploy services or virtual machines, your storage accounts. You link all of that to your virtual network, and that becomes your virtual private environment in the cloud.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But as an IT pro is watching this, she's thinking, yeah, but when things go wrong, how do I even begin to understand those things? And so you were going to talk about a couple of tools that help out with both if you're an IT pro and a software dev to use these networking features.
Exactly. So the one of the tools that I really want to demo today was something called Network Watcher.
Okay.
We're very excited about this.
Okay.
So it went to GA very recently. This is almost like a proxy for you, think of it, right? It's sitting there, it's watching a network, it's watching what you're doing and all that, but more so from a networking standpoint. And when you want to dig deep, it gives you all those abilities to go deeper and then do some analysis on your network packet captures and whatnot, right?
Okay.
So I really want to demo this Network Watcher's, one of the basic abilities of Network Watcher, which is the ability to take packet captures.
Okay.
So when something goes wrong, like we're mentioning, as an IT pro or as a network admin or even a developer who's doing a diagnosis, right? The first thing he's thinking is, who was talking to who and what was he sending? I need to see the packets to determine what could be wrong over here.
Right.
And we make the ability to take the packet capture so easy. Click of a button, you come to the portal.
All right, so let's see.
Let's see it. Let's go to the screen. So once you go to Azure portal, I mean, this Network Watcher is now a service. You can pin it, and that's what I did. So it's actually right over here.
So Network Watcher is a...
is a service.
Okay.
On its own.
So how do I get to it from the beginning?
You can go to More Services, for example, right? And then go, search for it. Network Watcher.
Got it. Okay.
There you go, right? Okay. I've pinned it, and now my favorite. So it sits in my my pane over here. So I can just click that, and it'll... give me it's enabled in regions. So you have to enable that. So I've enabled this in the three regions for myself. You can go enable this in any region that you have deployments on.
And so you might have multiple things working in a region and Network Watcher will be able to look at any of those.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
It's a regional service.
Okay.
So you can go enable Network Watcher per region.
Okay.
Right?
All right, let's
see
some more.
Yeah. So I'll just give you a brief overview of what all it does, right? It gives you a network topology view, whatever network you have. It gives you topology of that. You got to select a virtual network to see the topology for it. It also gives you, let me just go back to the screen over here. And it also gives you information about the next hop and all that. But today, what I really want to demo is a packet capture.
Okay, so before we get to the packet capture, there's just tons of things you can learn about your network just off the bat in whatever region you're in,
which is super nice. To summarize, it's like your topology of your network.
Got it.
It gives you the next hop. Like if there's a packet that you're sending it over here, where does it go next?
Okay.
It gives you that information. It gives you more log analytics and all that, right? But packet captures is what I want to demo today.
Let's do it.
This ability. So what do? You come to packet captures, and you can add a configuration to do packet capture on a new virtual machine. You just go to add, and it's asking you for subscription resource group, and here is where you just select your virtual machine. So I've selected my virtual machine in this particular resource group. I'm saying just start taking packet captures. And when you take them, store it either on a storage account or to a file.
Oh, that's smart.
You do whatever you want, right, if it's storage account. And you can do additional filters, like I'm only interested in TCP packets or UDP packets, or only some certain ports, because I'm only having failures when I talk to this particular IP address or this particular port.
That's awesome.
So you can set up those filters right there.
I mean, I can imagine, like, because if you're dumping this into something like a storage account, then you could literally read that stuff from something else, like the BI stuff that we have, for example, and get tons of learning off of that too.
Exactly. Cool. You can just download that, dump the file. That's what I'm going to show you.
I was looking for Power BI. This is a word. Yeah.
Power BI is too, definitely. But I'm just going to show you, like, you know, once you do something like this, I'm just going to show you a sample I've already taken, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And then once you go into that, what it is done for you is, if you look in the details, it puts back a PCAP file. Now, people who have done any sort of, one second, go to the details.
Oh, if you go to status, looks like there it is.
Yeah, there it is, right? So the PCAP file, this is the packet capture.
It's the
right
Wireshark
here.
Stuff,
Wireshark
right?
stuff. And once you have Wireshark in your machine, you can just, like, you know, just see it right here. Do a download, right? It's getting downloaded for you right here. And bring it up. I have Wireshark, right? Beautiful.
I mean, this is like the exact same thing that I used to do when I was on my own network.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You could do this exact same thing on your laptop, your desktop, but now you're doing it on a remote virtual machine that is running in the cloud somewhere.
Uh-huh.
It's in your network, but just click of a button.
That's awesome.
We make that easy.
So that's the pack network watcher that does this.
Yes.
And it looks like the network watcher has tons of other features, but this is just to show you how fine-grained we can
go. There's a sample of what it can do.
Okay.
I can do a lot more, plus we're adding a lot more stuff to this in the future.
Okay.
To just make this diagnosability experience much easier and better for developers.
The other thing that I used to do as a dev or slash half IT pro is I would configure firewalls for applications to make sure that only certain packets would go in and out. Is that something you can also do?
I'm going to do that as well. But before that, let me tell you, right? So security is different layers and levels, right? When you're thinking about doing a web application on the cloud, you got to definitely think about security, but from different angles. Number one, we give you some infrastructure protection, right? Mm-hmm. That since running it in Azure, you get some benefits. This is free for you. You don't have to enable that. For example, DDoS protection. If somebody is trying to attack your web application by sending a lot of requests to it, you know, DDoS, right?
Mm-hmm.
We will take care of that automatically.
Nothing you have to do.
Nothing you have to do, right? Yes. Comes for free, right? Then the second level, let's assume some packets made it in. Then you can do network level protection, saying IP address level blocks. Okay, this is like, you know, bad IPs. Like, you know, they're like blacklisted.
Mm-hmm.
I want to not allow them. Or I just don't want to allow from this region. That's network security groups, network ACLs, right? That's also free. It's in the platform, but you got to configure that.
Sure.
Right? Now, what I'm going to show here is a web application firewall. We're giving you tools even more so that is specific to your application where you can do some security for application. So there's three levels, right? DDoS, infrastructure, the network ACLs. This is application-level network security.
And so the one at the bottom, we're for free.
Free.
The one in the middle with network ACLs is something you can set up for your own virtual
network.
It's
also free, but
you
can,
And then the last one is if you have a particular application.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's
take a look
at that.
Now there's web applications, right? So here we have something called a WAF, and again from portal, you can go to that.
Mm-hmm.
And again from more services, look for, like, you know, application gateway, you'll search it. And I'm just going to switch subscriptions over here where I have some samples I can show you.
Okay.
I just created a WAF for demo purposes, right? I'll show you what it is, right? You go create a new WAF instance. It's just a click of a button again, right? Say new, and then you just configure some of it. So once you configure, first thing that you can get is it internal facing or external facing, right? So if you're really hosting a web application that you want, you know, to showcase or to expose to the internet, you want a front-end facing WAF for that.
Okay.
So you get that, right? So this becomes your front-end facing IP address now. So people who want to get to your application comes through that, right? It has DNS name and all that, and you can get a vanity name, map to it. You can do all that. But once they want to get to your application, they get to that. So now, what does it give you? It gives you abilities like you can create a standard or a WAF. Standard doesn't come with a WAF. This application gateway comes, and the WAF is a separate SKU. You can set it a size, right, so that we create that many apps for you. And then it can instance count, you can just change and whatnot.
So this becomes the entry point for your application now.
Exactly.
Got it, okay.
This is your entry point, right? Yeah. And what does it do? So once you enable this protection, we give you this standards, like OWASP 3.0. So we do all the protection for you over there.
Nice.
You can even customize that by doing advanced rule configuration. You can, if you want, you can customize some of these rules to, you know, behave in a different, a certain fashion. But by default, we protect you from all the standards of OWASP.
That's amazing. Like one of the OWASP top 10 is SQL injection.
Yep.
How does this help with that?
That's what I'm going to demo, actually.
Oh, nice. Right. We didn't even plan that, folks. Yeah. SQL injection is probably the worst offenses that everyone ever does.
So that's just your front-end configuration of what it protects you from.
Okay.
But where is your application really coming? That's a back-end pool. Here is where you have your applications running. So this could be a real app that is doing the business logic.
Okay.
Right? That becomes your back-end now. Because your front end, like you said, becomes the WAF.
Yeah.
All the requests go through the WAF, right? And if you have listeners, so listeners is another good, cool concept. Let me just tell you about that.
Yeah.
So since you got this WAF and you're paying for it, it's not like you can only host one website behind it. You can host multiple. And this becomes the entry point for all of that.
Oh, is it load balancing it as well?
No, it lists to a listener. So you get to AD port 80, the WAF will get the request. And based on the URL, it will forward it to the respective packet. It does a little bit of load balancing, yes, but we kind of think of more of a traffic distribution, right?
I see.
So, okay, this request is for this website. So based on the content, based on the URL, it forwards it to that particular website.
It's like your router that has a firewall, then it'll take you to the right thing, and then you might have a huge application over there. You could do load balancing and stuff over there.
You can do that as well.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. But this one will do the basic checking of a firewall stuff. Mm-hmm. It checks the firewall stuff. It looks good. Into this particular application.
Awesome.
So you can onboard multiple websites behind it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's go to the demo. So this, I'm just going back to this particular URL, particular IP address, and I just have a very simple application here.
Yeah, yeah, it looks
that
like
I wrote,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a comment wall. Do give whatever comments, right?
And that's the IP address of the WAF that we saw before, okay?
That's IP address of the WAF. So it says Seth here, right? It says hi.
I always say hi.
Yeah. That's a fairly
standard
comment. We can allow that. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. But if there's some, was a hacker, right, who wants to really attack this website,
single tick, or one equals one, right?
Right. So he does some script like this.
Oh shoot, that's even worse.
Right. I'm going to be less creative here. Like, x plus y equal to z, something like that, right? Like, he wants to take you down, right? And then he does something like that in the comment, and then just submit on that. Look at that. It recognized that kind of an input. It's a SQL cross injection stuff.
Yeah.
So it's potentially like.
This is like XSS malicious stuff. It's like cross-site scripting error.
Yes.
And you're going to see the same kind of thing with SQL injection as well, right?
Yep.
Okay. That's awesome. And what it does is it just says you can't do that.
Yes. You don't get to do that.
Nice.
It doesn't even show you the page after that.
Is there a way to make the WAF say, hey, you're being evil?
Actually, you get all the logs over here.
Oh, I see.
This is the activity. In the activity logs, when we enable that, you start to see all those things over here with timestamp. This guy tried to do this, and this guy tried to try that. Everything is actually over here.
Oh, that's amazing.
It takes some time. You got to enable that, but you'll see all of it over here, right? So that's basically it. Like, it's very, very simple, very quickly. You can set up WAF for your web applications.
And if you're worried about security, particularly with the OWASP top 10, you just set this up.
Yep.
That becomes now the public part of your application that you have in the back.
Yep.
And then it'll just route all the traffic. Awesome. So the last thing we're going to talk about is there is this really nascent, I don't know if it's nascent anymore, but there is this notion of containers.
Yep.
And I've always wondered about container networking, because if you have a million containers, you had to have an infrastructure to do that.
Yes.
How do we handle that?
Perfect. So containers, like in Azure, we have made it very simple now. Mm-hmm. You know about Azure Container Service?
Of course,
which
ACS.
Actually, ACS is a great integrator of open source technology as well, right? So we give you orchestrators to manage your containers, right? Through which you can launch them, update them, delete them, whatever. But with respect to networking, meaning why do you need networking also? Then like you said, right? Okay, I got a big cluster. I have hundreds of containers right now. And one has talked to the other. And these containers are not some island. They are part of my network too, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because they have to talk to the rest of the stuff I have in my network.
Via IP addresses.
Exactly. Usually. Maybe virtual machines or some other application I'm running in a VM form. It's got to talk to that. I may even have to talk to my on-premises, right? It's got to be in my network. But with basic stuff that you get with ACS, we don't give you networking from Azure. So whatever the orchestrator gives you is what you have, right?
I see.
So generally, it's overlay networking or NAT-based and whatnot. But now, recently, what we have launched is an Azure VNet for containers. Talked about VNet, right? So how do you even configure that? Like, as you know, you could do ACS from portal. So let me just take a minute to show you. You have ACS from here, right? You can go create an ACS cluster from portal.
Got it.
But it also has something called ACS Engine. You would have seen the open source also, which is basically a PowerShell-based thing. So which takes a JSON file as input, that ACS Engine, right? So here is network policy. Generally, you can leave this empty. You get the default what the orchestrator gives you. If you're using Kubernetes, that's Kubernetes. Then if you're using DCOS, that's DCOS. But here, we have added this option to say Azure now. So Azure networking is given to you for the network plugin for your container orchestration.
I see. So instead of having Kubernetes or DCOS manage all the IP addressing, you can make Azure do it.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, cool.
When you make Azure do it, then the IPs that you're getting for the containers are from your virtual network.
Which is awesome because then all of your profiles, your ACLs, everything that you've already spent time and effort setting up in your virtual private network will now also correspond to your containers.
Plus, it's one policy, right? So you have set up your network with some policies, right? You have some security groups, security rules. Everything applies. And if you have some connectivity that is already defined for you, everything just works. So here, I created a cluster like that using Azure as the networking policies, right?
Okay.
And this is what I get. Right? Once I deploy the ACS cluster, I get all of these things. And if you look at my virtual machines over here, just real quick, I have a master, Kubernetes master, and Kubernetes nodes.
And those are the things in the nodes is where all the containers are going to be spun up.
Exactly. The agents as well, all the containers are actually spun up, right? And I create also Windows VM now, just to have other applications, just be part of the virtual network. And here, my VNet itself is actually from the address space 10/8. That's my virtual network address space. I get to define that right now. Here is the thing. So I'm going into the machine, the Windows VM, which I've created.
Okay.
And I'm connected to the cluster right now. So right now with this, kube control, so I can get to the cluster itself. This is in the cluster. So I'm going to say kubectl.
So as you're typing this, just for people to be aware of what's happening, you had in that subnet or in that virtual network, you had the Kubernetes master, the two nodes with some storage accounts, and you put a Windows VM in there, and we're literally in that network right now. Okay.
I went right into the Windows VM, and from that VM, I'm connecting to the Kubernetes master.
Awesome.
On the master or the Kubernetes cluster rather.
Right.
I'm asking the Kubernetes cluster what pods you have. So you have five of them over here. Right?
Yes.
These are all each one is each individual container. I'm going to go into one of them right
now.
Wow. Right? So I'm going to go into the first one, right? The Nginx one. And once I'm inside, I'm going to look at what IP it has. It has a 10.240.0.47. If you remember, my virtual network IP address was 10/8.
Yeah.
This IP is from that. So this container literally is in the virtual network.
That's awesome because now what's happening is instead of Kubernetes doing whatever it is that it does, which I'm sure is great, but if you've already done a lot of work in your Azure networking, you can use that.
Exactly.
Okay, awesome.
You put this network right into the VNet, and now this container can ping literally any other containers. And just to prove a point, it only takes 30 seconds. So I'm going to say kubectl get describe pods just to get another IP address of one of the other containers. And so I see it, 10.240.0.110 is another container. So I'm going to go in over here and try to, let's go into one of these containers right now.
Okay.
Yep. And let's ping 10. You remember
240.0.110. Oh, you got a one in there.
All right.
Nice. And so now
I can pretty much hit any container or anything in the network right now.
And so you effectively, from the Windows box, went into one of the containers and pinged a different container.
Yes.
And the cool thing is that now that you're in your virtual private network, it's all in this sort of safety zone of your private network.
Yep.
If you put this in front of a WAF, for example, then everything is behind there. It's totally protected.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
The containers can be behind a WAF, so you can run your web application through a container.
That's awesome.
The WAF could still be protecting you. Or the container can talk back to something in on-premises. It's just pretty much in your network.
Sure.
It's not somewhere else. And you get all the benefits of the policies you have set already. And you can use the resources that you already have in the network. And that's the power of taking the infrastructure network and giving it to your container cluster.
That's wonderful.
That's what we have done. It's called Azure VNet for Cutter. It's in preview right now.
Okay.
But it's good to use, and we have instructions on the web.
Awesome. So we've looked at Network Watcher. We've looked at Web App Firewall, and we've looked at Container Networks.
Yeah.
Where can people go to find out more? Is there a blog or something, or a website?
Yeah, Yusuf's blog. Like, he has a series of seven blogs. Mm-hmm. It has all the URLs that leads to these things.
Fantastic.
Plus, you know, in the Azure docs, networking docs, we have links to all of these. And there's ton of samples that you can actually get started with. So
we'll make sure to put the links below so you can see them. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, Narayan. It's been awesome learning about virtual networks and what they can do for us if we're IT pros or software developers as well. Thanks so much for watching. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.